Tonight, I'm going to deal with relationships, have been for the last several weeks actually, and I want to deal particularly and specifically with husbands and wives. But if you're a teenager, I want you to listen carefully, because there's some things here that if you understand this now will save you a multitude of problems down the way. And for those of you who are neither of those, listen, you have relationships, you have people that you're around, and so what we're going to deal with really is interpersonal relationships, but we're going to look at it especially in the light of husbands and wives. Ephesians chapter 5, you can turn if you wish, and verse 25, very simple verse. The Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we ask tonight for your leadership and guidance. Lord, give us hearing ears and certainly hearts that are open to your leadership and will. I pray that you might guide these lips, and Lord God, that what is said tonight will be a blessing and help, a strengthening to your people. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. The New Testament was written in Greek. How many can speak Greek? None of you. I took Greek in Bible college, took 2 years of it, and all I can say is it took me. I don't remember any of it. All I can do, because it would say I took it. I had the same thing with Spanish and a few other things. But we find that English has considerable connections with Greek. We need to understand that our language, English, is kind of a later language, and it's a combination of a number of things. And Greek and Latin are very, very much a basis, an underlying basis for our English language. And thus, many times, we will allude to the concepts that are undergirding words that are in the Greek language. For instance, what we're going to deal with tonight are the Greek words for love. There's three of them. One of them is agape, and tonight's message is entitled, "What is Agape Love?" Agape is the highest form of love used overwhelmingly in the New Testament. We'll give a few examples in a bit. There's another, it's called philia, and it's the enjoyment of something or someone. And it's more like a friendship love. For every five times that the word agape is used, philia is mentioned once. So agape is by far that which is spoken of most in the Greek New Testament. We find there's another Greek word for love, and it's eros. That probably can conjure up some thoughts in your mind. And it's a reference to sexual love. But here's one. It's never used in the New Testament. Isn't that interesting? And so we come here tonight, and I want us to think, first of all, of some examples from Scripture of agape love. You know John 3:16, for God what? That word loved is agape. For God so loved the world, what? He gave his only begotten Son. And so what we find that his love is that which produced giving. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, one of the great verses of the Word of God, I think one, if we can get the handle of that, is very helpful in our lives. He says, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God," listen to these last words, "who loved me and gave himself for me." There's that word, agape. And what do we find it associated with again? Giving of himself. Isn't that interesting? We also find in 1 John chapter number 4, verse 8, it says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." He is agape love. And then, back to Ephesians chapter 5 and 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." And here again, the word agape is used. This high form of love used over and over again. Now this word, sometimes it's translated charity. And I believe it helps us to understand that this kind of love is about giving of oneself to another. It's selflessness, if you please. It's not what you can get out of it. It's what you can give to it. So when we read John 3:16, it becomes clear that God's love is giving. It's agape love. It's giving from the heart. I believe Galatians 2:20 that we read has the same amplification of love when he says he gave himself for me. And so we find then, we come to this business of husbands and their wives, we find something marvelous here, and that is our love is to match that of Christ, and it's also magnified by the reference of gave himself for it. What is love? Is that which we're giving to somebody else? Is it something we're receiving? No. It's something we are giving. You say, well, I'll never get anything. Well, there's something very interesting. When you give, it's marvelous how God somehow causes things to be given back to us. But we find that probably a great problem in many, many marriages is a lack of what I would say is real love. And one might say to the other, well, I love him, I love her, but there's a problem there. And the problem is, it's not a matter of giving self, it's a matter of wanting for self. Is that clear? And so we need to understand that agape love is that which is giving. It's love that comes out of the heart. 1 Peter 1, verse 22 says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit with unfeigned love of the brethren. In other words, it's not that which is a put on. Unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Where does love come out of? I believe we find there out of the heart. Interesting, if you ask the average person in the street, can you define love? Matter of fact, if I asked you, now after I've said a few things, perhaps you could, but could we define love? Most of the time, what we find when people think about love, they're thinking about getting fulfillment from something or somebody else. In other words, love to them is about getting rather than giving. Now, can you see how that can cause problems? Yeah. Because if you have two people that both want to get and neither want to give, there's going to be some clashing taking place. And so we need to understand that true agape love is giving of ourselves. Now, there's an aspect of love that relates to physical intimacy. But for most, that kind of intimacy is a gratification of their own desires. And we'd probably be better off calling it lust rather than love. Young ladies, some guy says to you, if you really love me, you will. Understand something. He doesn't love you. He's got a lust in his mind. Eh? Well, with this in mind, would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 with me? It's the great love chapter. I'm sure you've read it many, many times. No doubt you've heard messages on it before. I've preached on this. But I'd like for us to go, and we're going to look at verses 4, 5, 6, and 7 very particularly tonight, because there's some specific application of a giving love that is described here in these verses. And so we find several things that are mentioned here. And the first thing I want you to understand is, he does not use the word love, he uses what word? Charity. Charity has what? The idea of giving. And so a lot of folks say, well, that was... it's archaic. No, it's really on target. And so we find here that which is giving. And the first thing we notice here about it is in verse 4, charity suffereth long. Some guy says, yeah, boy, I'm really suffering. I'm living with a woman, man. Is it a problem? No, it's talking about being patient. And rather than, oh, you got to take, it's a matter of being willing to bear another person's shortcomings or their needs. Everybody in this room knows and understands that other people have shortcomings. Now, when we look in the mirror, we never see any, but we can certainly see them as we look at other people. You know, that's kind of the way we are sometimes. And what he's telling us here, charity suffereth long. In other words, we are willing to what? Bear those shortcomings. In other words, it's a focus on the other person. It isn't self-directed or self-oriented. We have a few little babies in our church. There we go. How many times do you reckon you have changed diaper in the last year? I'm talking to a mama with a baby. I'm not talking about a daycare worker that has mass-produced diaper-changing methods. Huh? How many dirty ones a day do you think you have? At least six? Okay, it was a bunch. Okay. We could probably be very safe to say within the first year of a baby being born that you've changed a diaper at least 1,000 times. You didn't change the diaper at all. But when we think about charity suffering long, I think of a mother who's changing a diaper. She's not upset with that child. She's expecting that. That baby has shortcomings. Doesn't have to go to the bathroom yet. And rather than hollering and, I was going to say swearing and cussing, I hope not if you're saved, but you're going to be soothing and cuddling that little baby. Charity suffereth long. Notice, secondly, it says charity is kind. I believe that's shown most often with the choice of words we use and even the tone that we use it in. I find myself sometimes saying the right words but having the wrong tone, sometimes not realizing what I'm doing. And I'll tell you what, you can get in trouble real fast with the wrong tone. Isn't that true? But kindness is being considerate of others, considerate of their feelings, considerate of their emotions, their thoughts. I remember, I don't know if I've done it for a while, I've done it from this pulpit, get up here and say, I don't care what you think, and proceed to whatever. Well, that's not caring for your feelings. I can tell you the same thing in a little better way, being kind about it. And hopefully I've learned a few things through the years, but it's being considerate of others. Sharp barbs and digs don't coexist with kindness. Sarcasm and nastiness and vindictiveness, I can't even say it, are aliens to kindness. I find myself, I get upset with myself sometimes with the sarcasm that I have, and I'm thinking to myself, that's not showing kindness. Unkindness is not related to love. Charity is kind. Charity suffereth long. Charity envieth not, it says. Now, that's an interesting word because that's a word that has with it the sense of boiling over. How many have ever had a pot of potatoes on and they boiled over? And you had to run, turn that stove down. And you had a mess to clean up. It's talking about boiling over with envy, boiling over with a temper or other negative emotions. It's not a matter of what? Boiling over. Negative feelings is not a heart of love. Love and envy are not related either. It's not there. Notice next it says, charity doesn't vaunt itself nor is puffed up. Vaunt means to boast, and in this case, to boast about oneself. I think this deals with pride and the attitude of, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'll make my own decisions. And so we vaunt ourselves. By the way, have you ever noticed the middle letter of pride? Pretty evident what it's trying to teach us, isn't it? So, and it reveals, really, that it's not real love. Puffed up is in the sense of blowing up something. I don't mean with a firecracker, but I mean not with dynamite, but blowing up something like a balloon. In other words, it thinks too highly of oneself. Charity doesn't vaunt herself. Matter of fact, we find that the Bible says we ought to esteem other better than ourselves. Isn't that true? And what a great position it is when we can get into that spot in our lives. That's real charity. Notice next says, charity doth not behave itself unseemly. This is a sense of loving improperly or indecently. And I'll put it this way, it will not take advantage of another person. Because love is seeking the best for the other. That's why the next part says, charity seeketh not her own. It's seeking what is great for the other person. And too often, what are we doing? We're looking for self-infatuation. We're looking for self-pleasure. And that is not a definition of love, definition of lust. Charity is not easily provoked. This is not being irritated because something has come up in the way of our desires. How many of you have been planning on doing something and your spouse says, I need to do this? And you get upset and irritated because it's messing up your plans. Been there, done that, but God's telling us something very marvelous about that. It's not easily provoked. Love is willing to yield to the loved one. Very simple. Are we getting the idea that love is not about us, but it's about the other person? We get the idea that love is not receiving, but it is giving. He goes on to say, it thinketh no evil. Sometimes you'll see somebody that's done a horrible crime. They might be a teenager and perhaps they've shot and even killed somebody. They will interview the mother and what does the mama say? He's such a good boy. She sticks up for her child because she doesn't want to think evil about him. True love is not going to jump to conclusions about things. And far too often, that's what takes place in relationships. Thinketh no evil. Boy, that's a tough one. It says, charity rejoices in truth, not iniquity. Doesn't think evil of others, is saddened by a righteousness that takes place. It says, it beareth all things. Very similar to seeking not our own, but it puts up with whatever comes along. Are the things going to get way in life between a husband and wife? That was poetic. But it happens, doesn't it? And it's putting up with it. Why? Because we love. You see, love is not this wonderful street we go down and everything is, you know, hunky-dory. It's giving ourselves to the one that we love. Charity believeth all things. I believe he's telling us that such love is trusting of the other. Not suspicious. Hopeth all things. Always hopes for the best for the other. Always wanting to see them succeed. Always wanting to see them go a little bit farther. Hoping for the best in their life. That's people standing behind each other and encouraging each other. So needed in our lives. What's charity? It's giving, isn't it? It's not about receiving, so it's giving all of these things. And the lesson we look at, charity endureth all things. Endures whatever comes along. In my notes, I wrote it this way, I put in parentheses, doesn't whine and complain, but steps up to the plate. Are there things in life that are tough? sure are, but endures all things. What happens when your spouse goes down? What happens when things are not going just right for them? How do we handle those things? Endure. I think, because I can talk as an aged one tonight, as we age, this must increase, because we find that the ailments of life are thrown at us more than ever before. And so we endure. I laid in, 3 years ago in the hospital for 111 days. My wife was there every day, almost all day. She never griped about it. She had plenty to do otherwise, but came and sat at my side. There were times all she could do was watch me sleep. And I really believe this with all my heart. She had to go through a whole lot more than I went through, but endured those things. Agape love, what is it? It's giving. It's giving. It's not about receiving. And when folks who are married can understand that concept, it changes everything. Young people, when God gives you a mate, understand something. It's not about you. It's about them. It's you giving yourself to them. Oh, you say, but I'm the man. I'm the alpha male. Get over it. Yes, ultimately you make some decisions. But by the way, I believe in making those decisions, you have enough sense to confer with a woman who's got some great wisdom. Every time I can make a decision and I don't confer with my wife, I'm sorry. Once in a while, because I didn't confer with her. But mostly because I did not get the input that I needed. And so we got a marvelous thing called love, agape. What is it? It's giving. It's not receiving. Amen? Very simple. And if we can keep that concept, listen, with our relationships with people and truly love them, in our relationships with husbands and wife, in our relationships as young people, one with another. By the way, begin to practice that now. It'll be easier when you get married. And I will say this. It's not about getting. But if you give enough of it, it will come back to you. For there's a truth in the Word of God. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Let's pray. Father, tonight, thank you for a time to look at this marvelous thing of love. The kind of love that you have for us. You don't receive much from us, but it's all about you giving to us. And Lord, help us to understand that and put that in practice in our lives, in our families, in all of our associates. Strengthen us in that area. And for that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.